Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy, and Curse Code and Crown, as well as 3 event podcasts with miniseries releases scheduled at random intervals: Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's D-U-M-B. D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, initiates, to the Mythos Mysteries, a live-play Pulp Cthulhu podcast where improvisers and comedians venture into dangers beyond their wildest imaginings. I am H.P. Helmfirth, your host on this journey into darkness. The Mystery Punchers are reunited, but not like before. Young Addy, now Caddy Diesel, tried to convince the others he wasn't a monster in disguise. Richter wasn't won over and still suspects Caddy of being something malevolent. And Red was given an address by Benny where she can find vengeance for Adrian's loss. So venture forth with us, dear friends, into the Mythos.
With a lead on the location of Donnie Splinter, the murderer of Adrian Diesel, the Mystery Punchers, feline and otherwise, pile into the car, the ramshackle, busted up cop car that Richter stole.
Got some mail stuck in it.
Yeah. It's you know, it's just all the American services going at once. You know, you got the postal service, you got the cops. To take off towards his address, confirming it in the phone book, it is indeed a motel some ways out of town. All of this is very confusing, but also Red, at this point, I don't think you necessarily give a shit how the information comes, just that it's a lead. And perhaps more importantly, that there's some hope that this asshole didn't teleport back to New York, which I think would have been the prime concern given what you've seen done with the Corbett blade to this
point.
It
was.
All right. So when we get there, we're going to knock him down so Red will have him at her feet, and then he'll go to jail. We'll call the police and he'll go right to jail like a criminal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
We're the good guys.
Sure. Are you driving, Red, or is Red driving?
Yeah. I'll drive. Driving?
Okay. All right.
Excellent. Red, you're behind the wheel, you know, like white knuckled as you're gripping it.
Yeah.
Richter, I assume you're in the other front seat, or are you in the back with?
No,
with
Richter's in the back seat watching the cat that's in the front seat.
I do. This is when I hate that we can't do proper cutaways, because just like being able to cut to just like a suspicious old man staring at a cat.
Ominous tone playing. Yeah.
Caddy, you can feel this the suspicious eyes of old man Richter on the literal scruff of your neck. We've said this in so many shows where it hasn't been a thing, but here it is legitimately a thing. Do you think you're going to attempt to get on old man Richter's good side? Normally adults really like you. Like, you're that kid adults get along with really well. And it's weird to have one not like you.
He would jump into the back seat and be like, "Hey, Mr. Richter, I saw you looking at me. What do you want to know? How are you? You seem stressed."
I am perfectly fine.
Small. But your nose is broken.
Well, no, my nose is not broken. It was merely invaded by the King in Yellow. It was not broken so much as used as a point of entry for my brain. Look at this. Handcuffs. Do you remember when we talked about handcuffs? We're here in the police car. There are handcuffs. Do you remember that?
He's not going to remember that, Richter.
Damn it, Red. It was a test.
What? Why are you testing me? I like tests. Try another question.
No, that's the only one I could think of.
No, I do really good on tests, though. I do really good.
Do you remember the handcuff conversation?
No.
God damn it, that's correct.
Was that with Big Me?
Yeah, it was with Big You.
Yeah, Big Me and Cat Me are different.
Yeah, I know that.
Do you need a hug?
No.
Do you want a hug?
No, I am not comfortable with being touched most of the time.
Well, do you want to pet me? Some people calm down when they pet cats. I know I used to.
I do not want to pet you.
It seems like you don't want anything. What do you want?
I would like young Benny back. I would like this croak... this Croatoan to be dealt with, to leave the people of Helmfuss alone. There are a number of things I would like. I would like to know that my sister Ingrid is safe.
Well, from the conversation we had in the drive a while ago, I mean, we're working towards the Croatoan thing, and your sister's safe because you're going to go into the weird time thing in a bit and then save Hitler or whatever. And Benny's here. Benny's a hand and I'm a cat. We're going to save Benny. Everybody's getting saved. Tracy's here. I mean, Red is here, and Red saves everyone.
Speaking of, Caddy, it's kind of weird that Sally isn't here. Did she, like, grow up and move away or something?
Oh, yeah. That's weird. Where's Sally?
Sally. Addy.
Caddy, please.
Caddy.
Thank you.
Sally is gone. The Sally you knew is gone.
She moved away? Like you did when you went to that other town?
Eddie wrote, what do you, Caddy?
Thank you.
What do you remember of the incident at the church?
Well, the church sort of got spooky, and then it's sort of a blur, and then wood fell on me after I got blasted by a green thing when I protected you. And then there was a big snake, and Big Me fought the big snake, and then I was a ghost.
Sally was possessed of a sort in the church that day.
Oh, wow. Which demon was in her?
I will say, Caddy, as they're talking about things around these demons and everything else, we talked about this briefly in the previous episode, but like, I think a lot of it is like, you don't consciously know how you know these things, but there's a lot of like, oh yeah, of course. Like Nalarathotep. Yeah, of course. Sure. And I think in this is likely something you'll need to work to unlock, but in those sort of liminal space you were, I don't think pre-temple you were in kicking around, like you were linked to Big Addy, but you were also kind of trapped in this weird kind of Helmfirth Nexus thing.
Yeah.
So, you a lot of like weirdly more so than these other two guys. Like a lot of the stuff's just like almost how Richard's just like, yes, of course.
I think it's like his memories unlocked, but then for him they were always there. So he's like, oh yes, yeah, that's
exactly.
Thing. And then he has no memory of not remembering it. He just locks it in. That's and is perfect. Like, oh yeah, of course.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, got it.
Sorry, carry on, Claire.
So. Sally was possessed by, and she'll kind of look at Richter, this Croatoan. And so the Sally that you knew is gone.
Well, I mean, possession works where the demon's just inside the person, moving them like a puppet, right? So Sally is the puppet. If we take the hand out of the puppet's just the puppet again.
Eddie, it's been 16 years.
Yeah, that's a long time to wear a puppet, but like you can still take the puppet off and then there's a puppet in a hand.
The question of where is Sally is somewhat, what is the word? Incorrect or not necessary. Sally is nowhere. She is gone. She was taken. And we are talking about puppets, yeah?
Yeah.
Let us suppose that there is a tree growing in the woods. The tree gets cut down and carved into a wooden marionette, and it is used as a puppet.
Okay.
And then one day the strings are cut. It is no longer a puppet, but it will also never be a tree again.
Wait, did they like chop Sally into like 35 parts and make a Sally-shaped demon marionette? What is going on? I am only 12. This is too much.
Well, we do not have the details, so that could be exactly what happened to her.
Richter? Oh.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, right. It's
the age.
She's pretending to be a child, right. Okay.
Sally was not chopped into pieces, honey.
Okay.
And she stops, because even saying that little nickname really sucks. And just says, well, we're going to figure it out, aren't we, Richter? We're going to figure out this Croatoan nonsense.
Yeah,
Sally to rest one way or the other.
Should we? What's the other? One way is she's fine, and I know that way. What's the other way?
The other way is...
She's sleeping.
What?
She's sleeping and she won't wake up.
No, that's what dead means. I'm not stupid.
And she'll just go back to driving on the road.
Can we get another cat? And then maybe if Sally's dead, we can put Sally's ghost in a cat?
There is no putting of ghosts in places.
I don't know. I did it.
Yeah, Sally did not.
Yeah, but maybe that's because the demon got her. Now if we need a cat so the cat can get her, and then she'll be fine.
At which point a car comes tearing into the street in front of you. Red, I need a defensive driving check, as I'm learning from my young driver's lessons. But as you would just know as a person behind the wheel of an automobile. So give me a driving check, please.
Drive auto it is in this one.
Yes.
The other one's diving, which is the weirdest
thing.
That's
the one I was looking at. Thank you. Yeah. Yes, I was looking at that, and I was like, yeah.
I remember because Tyler tried to do that check once, was like, I'm going to die.
I was also like, I get that I can't drive, so 1% is true for me, but for the general populace, that seems very uncharitable.
I mean, when I volunteered to drive, I forgot that my driving score is pretty low, so we're going to hope that this works out.
I will say, for least useful skill ever put on a skill sheet, diving might win. Like, it's very specific.
Well, that's just because we haven't played soccer. If we were playing soccer, that would be the most useful skill.
What's a fumble?
Like a
96 plus.
Yeah.
Okay. Red gun, a good old 95.
Not a fumble.
Just under. We're in great shape.
Yeah.
The car gets sideswiped by this other vehicle that is just like tearing out in front of you. It's obviously not aiming for you, just a guy who's an asshole who's driving. You'll all take 2 points of damage because 1930s cars, not known for their like safety and seatbelts.
As I have known, flying into a garage door.
Precisely.
Tom, as a tiny, dexterous cat, do I have any advantage in this scenario?
Sure. Give me a dodge check, please.
There are very few times where being a cat will have an advantage in this game. That is a success.
This, any games with a mouse, if you need to romance Batman. There's a few places. If you need to go to the Jellicle Ball. All right, so you can reduce the damage to 1 point.
Nice.
The car, you feel that sickening metal crunch. Your car swerves and goes off-road briefly. Red, looking up and out the window, you can see that there are a bunch of guys dressed not too subtly as mobsters in the vehicle. One of them just leans out and he goes, "Hey, sorry, lady, that's why dames shouldn't drive." And then the car is tearing off down the street. Seems to be driving the same direction you are.
Great. It's really weird that those mobsters sideswiped a cop car.
It sure is. And she's going to gun it.
I'm going to need a mech repair from someone because your car is currently having some trouble getting up and going.
Richter, how's your mech repair?
Surely the cat can do it.
I mean, we used to have a guy for this.
I think that's fair.
Okay, all right. I'll roll for mech repair. Oh, this better be the biggest.
The cat has the knowledge of a 12-year-old occult enthusiast.
Wait.
A little pause that can get in there.
Wait a second.
Yeah, like Snowpiercer.
If I roll... Guys, I just rolled a 2, which is extreme success. My mech repair is a 10.
Mine yeah, too. It's the base number. Amazing.
Dum Dums and Dice would like to welcome you to the grim darkness of the 41st millennium. I am Inquisitor Caveat Ventus, Keeper of the Inquisition's Black Library, and I'm releasing my report on the Valentine Heresy. It's an actual play podcast set in the Genesis adaptation of Warhammer 40,000's Dark Heresy RPG. Join Ryan LaPlante as Inquisitor Lucius Valentine, and Laura Elizabeth and Tyler Hewitt as hive-bred siblings Lyric and Alto, as this unlikely trio try to save the Emperor from a cabal of mysterious enemies in a series created by Games Master Tom McGee. Can these unlikely heroes survive in a galaxy where there is only war? Find out in the first episode of Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy, available now.
So, hell yeah, Claire.
Yeah, you, it's less technical and more just a moment of unadulterated frustration and rage as you just like Han Solo the fucking console. And the car roars to life, and you put that pedal to the metal. Incidentally, yes, it is dumb. They sideswiped a cop car. They do also own the cops, though, so like it kind of tracks, I guess.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
But also very dumb. Also dumb mobsters. And with that, my friends, we find ourselves in a motherfucking car chase. You know that the mobsters are clearly headed to the same destination you are. If they get there first, it's going to be a much, much different scenario than if you just roll into this motel without any backup. So we find ourselves in an active car chase sequence. So here's my question to the three of you. Red, you're driving, so you're kind of tied up there. Richter and Caddy, is there anything you'd be doing, do you think, to try and aid in this? Like, is this a shoot out the window situation? Is this like a hang on for dear life situation? What's the vibe?
If I may, mm-hmm. what she would probably yell to Richter is like something along the lines of take the wheel. And she's probably just going to have her foot on the gas, lean out the window and shoot. Because in her mind, she's like, they're like, neither of these two people can probably do a shootout from a moving car like I can, but we also can't.
Just going full Starsky and Hutch.
Probably unless Tyler has a, or
that's I'm happy to facilitate that.
I think Caddy will jump on the dash, and if this is what's going on, just start yelling. They only did a side swipe. You can't kill them.
She's ignoring you.
Fair enough. Okay, so then what I need is a drive auto check from Richter and a firearms handgun from Red.
I like to think that what these men see is like they just hear like, and then all of a sudden this woman is leaning out the window screaming at the top of her voice at these dudes. And just firing away.
Just Ace Venturing it.
Yeah.
I rolled a 27, so I'll spend 7 luck to get a success.
And I rolled a 9, so I'm going to spend... I don't even need to do that. That's an extreme success by far.
All right, so With your, so based on your first roll, you are currently two bands behind the mobsters. I have to roll for them, but Richter, you rolled very well. Ooh, but I rolled a six. So they remain, you're keeping pace with them, but you unfortunately have not advanced on them. That said, Red, you rolled extraordinarily well. I'll roll a dodge for them. That is definitely not great. So go ahead and roll your damage, please.
Okay, what is this? 1d8, I guess?
Also, just gotta say, it is thrilling rolling d100s. I've done this like six times over the course of this entire adventure so far, and like, oh, it's so different. Finally, the stupid tens dice means something.
Mm-hmm. So this just says 1d8 for an automatic. How many am I rolling if I'm just like boom, 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 boom?
Let's go with two.
Okay.
Here they don't.
That's
boom, 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 boom. They go bang, 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 bang.
I'm sorry, God. that's a 5 and a 4.
Okay, 9 damage. Not bad. Not bad at all. You, it's that classic thing where like you shoot out the back window. You hear a bunch of swearing, being like, "Look out! That lady cop is mad." And one of them, one of them just turns over and is like, shut up there, Bumfrey. That's not one of them lady cops. That there's a Valkyrie. I saw it in an Opry once. With that, they start reaching for their guns. But you've done significant damage to the car, and you are keeping pace. Caddy, for your turn, you find your yelling not super effective. It might be a water type Pokemon that you're fighting, so like there might be an issue there. But I don't know. Tracy's a lot more murdery than you remember. Yet again, like just full Matrix. Like what the hell? Enzo has a gun? This isn't alphanumeric at all. Do you think you would actively try and stop this?
Yeah, because they don't have guns, according to him. He's just seeing Tracy fire at someone who sideswiped a car. So she's being a bad hero. So I think he would just dive on her head and try to wrap her up in cat limbs.
Okay.
They don't have guns, Tracy. You can't kill people for being bad drivers.
Get off my head, Adrian. Ah,
so you're revealing your true colors.
Get off. They have guns. I swear to God.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
All right. So, Claire, go ahead and roll.
All you're hearing is like, roll, roll, roll. We're both bad at this.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah, yeah. Claire, roll me a, I guess a dodge, Adrian, sorry, Cat Adrian, Caddy, roll me a dex, and Richter, please roll me a drive auto.
Oh, baby.
That's a fail. That is hard for me to do. Okay. Yeah,
that is an extreme success.
God damn all right, it, so Adrian!
Full face hugger, just like boom. Richter, what'd you get for driving?
I feel like I got like a 60.
All right, let's see where they pull in. Okay, interesting. So you're having a hard time keeping the car. Like the car is swerving. The mobsters are rapidly making haste. That said, they do slow a bit in order to open fire. So, Caddy, the great news is you stop Tracy from being a bad hero, and that's amazing. At which point, the windshield explodes as mail and glass come flying inward as a Tommy gun rips up the front of the vehicle. Go ahead and roll me a dodge check, please.
Who? Everyone?
That is just Adrian, please.
Success.
Oh, thank God.
So Michael Bay Transformer style in slow motion, it's just you like all four paws shoving Tracy back into the car as you kind of like fly up onto the roof, claw on. Now you're kind of like hanging on the roof of the car swerving, bullets are raining in. Richter, you're actually fine because you're leaning across a seat. So you're just kind of covered in glass and mail. But I mean, you've been covered in worse. Red, you hit the deck. You don't take any damage because of Adrian's quick thinking. He's now gone to your eyes, but also you've got a mobster poking up over the back with a Tommy gun.
I shoot him.
All right, go ahead.
That's an extreme success.
Okay, go ahead and roll your damage, please.
Do you want 2d8s again?
Just one this time, because you're just shooting the one guy.
Cool. That's a... I can't do anything to, like, improve my... I guess probably not, huh?
Unfortunately, no.
No, that's a 2.
2? Okay. Mm-hmm. So you blow his ear off, and he just ducks behind the car as the other bolts kind of ting off the back of the vehicle. You just hear the Valkyrie mobster go, Bumfrey, did she get you? And he says, what? And he goes, oh, that was Bumfrey's best listening ear. This Valkyrie means business. You see him just like cock a shotgun. Caddy, you're on top of a car. What do you do?
I think he stays there, but he's just yelling, everyone stop shooting. This is a mistake. You're all shooting in self-defense.
Okay.
He thinks Tracy shot first, so they're just defending themselves. So now Tracy's shooting at them defending herself. So this is just a big error. If someone was just a bad driver, why does everyone have guns?
All right. So Richter, you're having a hard time driving the car.
Yep.
Bad guys are getting away. Is there anything you want to attempt?
Nothing that I can do safely. Okay. Yeah.
Tom, so I will point out that I have 5 explosive shells that I wrote down a long time ago that I got from the ice cream man.
Robert Walker, the ice cream man.
So I think if this is okay, I think the second that she shoots this guy's ear off, she like ducks into the car. She's going to pull them out of her pocket and like load them into her gun.
How do you explain to Addy what you're doing as you do this?
Oh...
And she's like up on the roof yelling, but I think it's one of those moments where, like, if it was the movie, the action hero would just, it would be like John McClane, just be like, "All right, pal. Well, listen, here's why we're doing what we're doing." Like,
yeah, I will. She's gonna be like, "I'll explain later, Adrian, but we're gonna take these motherfuckers down. Get ready for a boom." And she's just gonna like, and then just like lean back out the window again.
All right. Roll them bones.
Mm-hmm.
Caddy, do you respond to that?
I think he's probably just shrieking at this point. I think it's just he is hanging off of a car from the exterior while everyone shoots at each other. So
when he's shrieking, is it human vocalization shrieking or is it like cat meowling?
I feel like it both starts and ends as a meowl on each breath, but in the middle it's a person. Like it just says like he's slowly so becoming a European siren on a police car.
Yeah, get at me, European siren Twitter. All right, great. Cool. Yeah. So, Red, go ahead and open fire, please.
All right. That's a 7 and an 8.
To damage?
Yes.
Did you roll to hit?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Those are very good rolls if yes, you can hit. Are.
Yeah, that's good. Oh, yes, I can. That's a hard success.
Okay, amazing. So the guy with the shotgun just like leans out, starts aiming, and you just open up with both pistols. It's just like we're going to ignore your damage rolls and just say you can expend kind of your explosive ammo clip.
Mm-hmm.
To stop this car. So right. As you're firing, it's just that like you're leaning out the window, you open fire, you know, the classic, one of the bullets explodes close enough to the gas tank that just an explosion kind of erupts throughout the cab of the car. Bumfrey Bogart and his shotgun wielding friend, Nicholas Hickley, are incinerated. The driver, just screaming, yells, "My name was Henry Wadsworth Longfellow!" as the car explodes. you tear past them as the vehicle kind of slowly rolls to a stop. And as the camera stops with the car, as we see kind of the mystery puncher mobile tear on down the road, just in classic comedy action movie style, like one hubcap kind of just like wobbles, falls off, and just rolls down the street after you before falling over, signaling the defeat of these evil sumbitches and your gradual success. So the car is in pretty rough shape. It was in rough shape before. It's in very rough shape now. It's likely going to get you to the motel and crap out. But you do have a few moments before you arrive where, you know, Caddy climbs back in through a window. You have a few moments both to deal with what just happened and to make a plan of attack for when you arrive.
Yeah, so Caddy is almost cartoonishly windblown with like a little smoke at the edges of his fur from the explosion because he was outside and he's just like sort of twitching weirdly.
Yeah, I think Red's gonna put her guns down, smoking slightly, and she's gonna like pick Caddy up.
No,
both arms. So, you know, like he does the cat thing in front of her with both arms outstretched. She's gonna look at him in his face and just say, "Adrian, I promise I will explain everything, but for right now you're gonna have to get real cool with a lot of things really quickly. Do you understand?"
"You're a murderer, I think."
"I am."
"You're not gonna make the next guy go to jail, are you? You're gonna murder him."
"Yes, Adrian, and I promise that I will explain why. But I can't process that right now. Do you understand me?"
"I thought it was weird that you changed your name to Red, but you're not Tracy."
"No, I'm not." And she's just going to put you down on the seat, give your head a little pat, and start loading her guns up again.
And Richter, unless you have anything you want to add to that exchange...
"No, just staring daggers at this saboteur."
Yeah.
Jumped on Red's face.
As soon as she puts Caddy down, after that like little heart to heart, you're able to finally release the wheel and hand it back to Red. Yeah. And then, yes, you keep your eyes on the caboteur. And Caddy, you kind of thought escaping from the belly of a monster as a ghost and then becoming a cat would be the strangest part of your day. But instead, it's that you find yourself in a car on your way to murder someone with an incredibly familiar stranger who used to be your best friend. Some mysteries can't be punched. It's a hard lesson, and it's one that young Caddy Sprinkles learned today.
This episode of the Mythos Mysteries features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at the Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Claire Blackwood at Claire Blackwood on Twitter, and Keeper Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode's sound was edited and mixed by Laura Hamstra. And the Mythos Mysteries show logo was created by Decapitated Marker at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are Dark Alleys and Sentinel by Kai Engel. And our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, JAHZZAR. And all of their music is available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are dumdumdice. And on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We have merchandise available at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. All hail the mythos.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, the Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lord of Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Chet Awesome Laser, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, Taryn Hefner, Cade Peters, Richard Cranium, Christian Mendez, Anna Zed, Fire Unfriendly, Logan, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.